Welcome, I am Miguel Gonzalez, and this is Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. Thank you once again for choosing to spend the next 30 minutes with us as we continue studying the Word of God. Last week, if you were with us, we started talking about the Christian and trouble, and it was part one because I said we were going to be talking about making four different points in relation to this message about Christians and trouble. We looked at the first two points last week, which had to do with the promise of trouble and the plan of trouble. And we looked at a series of subpoints and looked at several passages of Scripture that helped us understand what those points meant and how God uses trouble for His own glory and our benefit. Today we're going to look at the last two points. We're going to be discussing the prevention of trouble and the procedure when trouble comes. But before we do that, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for this time. We pray that You would speak to us loudly and clearly. May we learn and may we apply what we learn so that we may be able to allow Jesus to be seen more and more in us as we go into this world, into this dark world as salt and light. We love You and we thank You for Your mercies and Your grace and Your compassion and for the great salvation that we have in You. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Well, as we said last week, there is a promise of trouble. We looked at several passages of Scripture. One was in Job, where we are told that we are born to trouble and that we will face trouble as surely as the sparks fly upward. And we looked at some of the reasons why we are born to trouble. One had to do with the fact that we're born into a sinful world. Second, we were born with a sinful nature into a sinful body. And we were born into spiritual warfare from the moment that we come out of our mother's wounds. We are engaged in warfare with the devil who wants to see us spend our eternity with Him in hell. And we also talked about the plan of trouble, and we looked at a number of passages that clearly taught us that God uses trouble, trials, tribulations in the life of the believer in order to bring that believer to maturity. It allows us to be conformed to the image of Christ. So God uses these troubles, these trials, these pains, these tribulations, these persecutions for His own glory and for our own benefit. The problem that we often have is that we often don't trust God at His word. We say we do, but when something happens, we fall apart. And whatever it is that we said we believed, apparently our behaviors and our attitudes demonstrate otherwise. Well, today we're going to look at the last two points of the Christian in trouble. This is part two. And we're talking about the prevention of trouble and the procedure when trouble comes. There's not a particular passage we're going to look at. We're just going to be looking at a number of different passages that will help us understand and, Lord willing, apply these truths to our lives. As we speak of the prevention of trouble, the first passage I want to look at is Psalm 119. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 119. If you don't, just jot down the reference so you can look it up later on your own. And I would recommend that you look them up and study them and meditate on these passages. Rely exclusively on what I say here. In fact, don't trust anything I say. Make sure that what I say is in Scripture. If not, what I say is meaningless, worthless, and potentially even dangerous. Make sure you're spending time in God's Word, meditating on it, and allow the Spirit of God to really allow these studies to penetrate your heart and be soaked in so that you may apply them. But for Psalm 119, the verse I want to look at is 105. Listen to this. Is a well-known passage. Many of you know it or have heard it or know it by heart. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Now we're talking about the prevention of trouble. According to the psalmist, knowing God's word helps us prevent the troubles that we ourselves bring upon ourselves, troubles that are not necessary for us to go through. Listen, there are things in life, and there are going to be many instances in our lives where God will allow, they will be divinely ordained trials and tribulations and troubles that God will allow to come into our life so He can use them to stretch our faith, to exercise our faith so that we may grow spiritually. But undoubtedly, there are many troubles that come our way that we have created ourselves. And these are unnecessary. They become problems, they become trouble, they become trials because we have failed to do things that would have prevented those unnecessary troubles to come into our life. There's a big difference between the divinely ordained trials and tribulations and troubles that God allows to and uses and brings into our life for our own spiritual well-being, and there's versus those that we ourselves create for ourselves, particularly because we're not doing things as we ought to be doing it. But according to the Word of God, one of the most important things, and this is not an exhaustive list, but one of the most important things that we can be doing in order to prevent unnecessary troubles is knowing God's Word. And that is precisely what the psalmist says when he says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Another passage we can look at is Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Let me get there. Hosea 4, 6, where it says, and interestingly enough, this is the text, this is the passage that this ministry has adopted as the ministry's reason for existence. This is the passage that we have used in order to demonstrate or to speak as to the crisis that faces the church today. Listen, do you know that the church, and I qualify the statement I'm going to make. There's the church and there's the church, okay? There's the church composed of biblical Christians, children of God, born again saints. And then there's the church of those who believe themselves to be Christians, even though they are not in a personal relationship with Jesus. That church is in crisis, and it's also creating problems for the biblical church because the biblical church has found itself with saints who are unable to answer simple, straightforward questions coming from those who may not even believe that there is a God. There is a crisis of illiteracy facing the church. And this is the passage that this ministry has adopted in part and parcel for the vision that God has given us. Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge." Do you see the implication in that statement? When a child of God is not acquainted with the Word of God, he is asking for trouble. Self-created, self-made, self-imposed trouble, trials, and tribulations. It is imperative that we become a people of the Word. One final passage I want to look at, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 29. Jesus replied, "You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God." Listen, and I don't want to continue to It's important that I do, but I got more points I need to make, so I just want to make sure I make the point as succinctly and as quickly as I possibly can. Bottom line is, if we don't know what the Bible teaches, if we don't know what it is that God has revealed and what it is God wants us to know, then we are going to successfully fail in our prevention of those unnecessary troubles that we often face. The second thing I want to point out, so the first thing that we need to do to prevent trouble is to be a people who knows the Word of God. Secondly, I want to go to Proverbs chapter 11, and I'm going to be looking at verse 14, Proverbs 11, 14. For lack of guidance, Proverbs 11:14. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure. And I'll elaborate in a moment. I want to go to chapter 24, same book, Proverbs, chapter 24, and I'm looking at verse 6. For waging war, you need guidance, and for victory, many advisors. What is the Word of God saying here? Listen, if you want to successfully prevent those unnecessary troubles in your life, you must be in fellowship with believers who can properly advise you concerning spiritual things. Fellowship is imperative if we are going to successfully prevent unnecessary troubles. I know people, and I qualify the statement again. I suppose it's better than not doing anything. But I've often talked to a few Christians who don't attend a local church, a Bible-believing church, a Christ-centered church. They read good books. They watch good preachers on TV and listen to good preachers on radio, but they don't attend a local church. They think they get enough from watching preachers and listening to preachers and reading books. There is a great deal of good that comes from doing those things. But let me tell you something. The Word of God clearly teaches us that if we don't have fellowship with other believers, if we don't have people to whom we are accountable, if we don't have people who help sharpen us and people who help advise us and people who help in rebuking us and in instructing us, we are going to miss out on a tremendous blessing from God, and we're going to set ourselves up for trouble. There is, and we know this from study the book of Acts. Look at the Gospels. At the very beginning, when Christ was still here, and then when the church began in Pentecost, these people understood that strength came from not only having the Word of God and the Spirit of God, but in fellowship. And they broke bread together, and they came together and held each other accountable. And they strengthened each other, because that is one of the tools that God has given us in order for us to prevent trouble. Another area that I want to look at, and this might not be a very popular area with a lot of people, it might be very convicting to some, in many cases maybe to most even mature Christians, but look at Malachi chapter 3 and verse 11. This is what Scripture says. I mean, I'm not here listen to what Malachi 3:11 says. I will prevent, we're trying to prevent trouble. Listen to what it says. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast, and the vines in your field will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Listen, I'm looking at the wrong passage here. I'm in the right place. This and other passages. I'm not going to look at some of the other passages, but in other words, another way to prevent trouble in our lives, listen, is to be honest with God about our finances. As Christians, you know, we say this all the time, but I often wonder how often we mean what we say, particularly when it comes to money. As Christians, we know that nothing is ours. We know that everything that we have has been given to us by God as a blessing. And if there's some excess, God has given us that excess to use it wisely, and in some cases, so that we can enjoy God's blessings. But at the end of the day, we have to be honest with God about our finances, because if there's an area in which we normally attempt to be somewhat dishonest, it's usually the area of money. We have to be honest with God about finances if we're going to successfully prevent trouble. Another very important one, and this is not an exhaustive list as I told you, is 1 John chapter 1. Many of you are familiar with this passage as well, but it's important to go back to these often. 1 John chapter 1 and verses 7 through 9. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not with us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. What is John saying here? Well, simply that one of the things that we have to do in order to prevent those unnecessary troubles in our life is to confess regularly, daily, our sins. And I'll tell you what, there's no way that anybody will ever convince me that even a mature Christian does not sin daily. I mean, even the Apostle Paul said that the things I don't want to do, I do, and the things I should be doing, I don't do. And in many respects, he was talking about sin in his life. We have to daily come to God and confess those things that we know are sinful. And after we've confessed those things we know that we have failed to do or did and shouldn't have done, then we have to ask God to reveal to us the things that we did or didn't do that we're not even aware of that are sinful as well. You want to maintain a clean, clear record, a transparent record with God. It's not that he doesn't know and that he's not going to know if you fail to confess it. He wants you to be honest and frank with him. If we're not honest and frank with God, we are spelling trouble. So we need to, one, know the Word of God. Two, have fellowship with other believers. Three, be honest with God about our finances. And four, daily confession. This is good medicine, folks. I mean, this is not going to do away with the divinely ordained troubles that God is using for our own good and for His glory. This is for all these unnecessary problems that we create for ourselves in life because we simply don't obey and commit to living a life that brings honor and glory to God and that is in according to the will of God. I mean, it's not a life that is consistent, is the word I was looking for, consistent with what Scripture says the life of a Christian looks like. These are four important pieces of this medicine that helps us successfully prevent trouble. But once we do face troubles, and in many cases, like I said, some are self-imposed, self-created, but there are divinely ordained troubles and trials and tribulations that come into our life. And there is a procedure on how to handle those troubles when they do come into our lives. First of all, let's go to Peter chapter 5 First Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Listen, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. How should we handle the troubles that come into our lives? Well, one of the first things we ought to do is to come to Jesus and cast all our anxieties, cast our cares on him because he cares for us. Listen, when trouble comes, when trials come, when tribulations come, God never intends for us to face those things on our own, by ourselves. He is there every step of the way. And all he's wanting you to do is to come to him so you can cast those troubles and those trials and those anxieties and those pains at his feet. Because he cares. And he can relate. You know how we know he can relate? He endured the same things without ever sinning. He endured and experienced the same things as a human when he was born in the flesh. He lived in the same world. No, he did not have a sinful nature, and he was God. But in his humanity, he understood and experienced the same things. He knows our pain. He can relate to it because he himself experienced it and saw it firsthand when he was here. A second thing that we need to do is, let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and I want to look at verse 1. John 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Listen. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Listen. Cast your cares, your anxieties, your concerns, your heartbreaks at the feet of Jesus because he cares. Secondly, trust God. And trust his promises. Remember Romans 8:28? We talked about this several weeks ago in a message entitled, All Things Work Together for Good. All things work together for good. That's a promise. That's a guarantee. Trust God. Third piece I want to look at is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'm looking at verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances. Listen, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know what the Bible says? When trouble comes, and this is not an exhaustive list again, but when trouble comes, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Trust God and trust his promises. And three, listen, count your blessings. You know how often we fail to realize how blessed we really are. We whine about everything else rather than thanking God for the much that we have, spiritually, physically, emotionally, materially. Well, we've reached the end of this lesson. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Lord Jesus who died for us on that cross in Calvary in order to provide us with the free gift of salvation. May we all be trusting him today for that salvation. We give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
have been listening to Truth to Live By. Truth to Live By is a production and ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. This ministry is a listener-supported ministry. We pray that you would prayerfully consider supporting us both with your prayers and with your financial contributions. It is because of your faithful giving that this ministry is able to continue airing this program on this radio station. We do need your faithful and regular support. Would you please consider partnering with us so that we may be able to continue preaching and spreading and propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ? It is our prayer that these programs have been beneficial to you and that God is using them for His own glory and to edify those of you who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you may be equipped for service, that you may be able to do the work of the kingdom, reaching the lost for the Lord Jesus. If you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would do so right now. It's a very simple step. All you need to do is pray from your heart, asking the Lord Jesus to forgive you of your sin as you realize and recognize and repent of your own sin. Open your heart to Him and ask Him to come into your life so that He may be able to forgive you of your sin and grant you the gift of eternal life. If you've prayed that prayer, it is my privilege and on the authority of the Word of God to tell you that you have been adopted, brought into the family of God. Would you please let us know if you have made this decision for the Lord today? If you wish to request any CDs of any of our programs, order any of our resources that we have available in this ministry, please do so either by writing to us or by sending us an email. I am going to give you our contact information right now. Our writing address, our mailing address, is Post Office Box 23688, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227-0279. Our email address is truthtoliveby@rffiministries.org. If you, our phone number is 704-778-3759. If you need to order any resources, please let us know by writing or by email. And if you're wanting a CD of any of these programs, just let us know what radio station, the call letters of the station you heard us on, and also let us know the date on which you heard the program. We also want to point you to our website. The website address is www.rffiministries.org. There you can learn a great deal about us and see what resources we have available. It is indeed our pleasure to be able to join with you every week in the study of God's Word. May God richly bless you, and we will see you next week.